Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess I'm different. I differ from you in that on that piece. I do think Florida State will find more success than they found previously. I mean, what they have 16 against Boston College.
Yeah, you're going off blind faith. You're going off Norvell reputation. You're going off.
I'm legally blind.
You're going off the fact that you haven't seen it the first couple of games and thinking it's a Norvell offense, man.
It's going to find some success.
And really, the only. I mean. Yours is a thinner argument based on what we've seen if you were watching those ball games, but you could go back to, well, this Memphis defense is unproven.
I mean,
you know, you're coming off of a bad defensive
year. You're going from an ACC, you're going from two ACC games. I mean, listen.
But they're not even ACC powers, bro, and they ran through them.
So you're going to sit here and tell me that
Georgia Tech was expected to have a good offense. Bill O'Brien and a BC offense going for
something? You're going to sit here with a straight face and tell me that Bill O'Brien and the Boston College Eagles are not an ACC power?
Nope. We didn't have them in our top three power rankings of the ACC. We did this preseason, where you had Florida State, Miami, Clemson.
That was
your list.
Boston College just missed the cut, man. No, I mean, look, you're right. I am basing it on some things that
have
not happened yet.
BC middling at best ACC team,
but
ran through them, folks.
This is how I would argue it. I'd argue the opener in Dublin, as it was a weird game. On a weird field in a different part of the world, nobody looked good, and they didn't get there until the Thursday before, so everything was off. I had the under in that game, right? We all kind of liked the under for that reason. So, okay, I'll chalk that up. Forget the L, right? Forget the L, although that did happen. The offense, we expected the offenses by both teams to struggle, and they did, all right? Now you come back against Boston College. And the defense got the bad rap in that one. Right? But it was really the offense, I thought, that was the problem. Because they couldn't sustain a drive. So, therefore, that defense was constantly on the field. Right?
Doing the same thing they've done all season, though, giving up over five a carry.
But what I would say is that Boston College had the advantage because Florida State had a week of film. And Boston College had no film. So, it was harder for Norvell and his staff to game plan for Boston College as a new first-year coach with no film.
Yeah.
I'm just making the case.
You can sell that.
That's what I'm selling in terms of me thinking the offense will have a bounce back. And then here comes, you go from two weird games against conference opponents to a group of five team in Memphis that has a very, it all sounds good about the defense, you know, but we don't really know.
It's not just a group of five team. It's the AAC preseason favorite.
Okay,
that brings back a ton.
Fair.
And has such great NIL resources now that it got transfers in from South Carolina and Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Just App State or somebody that's Texas State or somebody that's just jumped into the mix.
Right,
here.
Fair enough.
Mike knew that before the season.
It's the top of the group of five.
It's one of the best group of five teams, obviously.
and I appreciate you saying that because maybe I was underselling them a little bit in that descriptor there. That I'm just
talking
about them like they're damn East Carolina or Temple.
You're 5% chance.
You know?
That's the way you're talking about them.
But, I mean, if you are looking for a get-right game for your offense, there's no better opponent than an AAC defense. I mean, it's just...
Well, I can't push back there.
You know, I mean...
You would think.
Yeah, you would think. If they can't do it this week, then they're just never going to do it. So this is just about an argument for the total. I like the over. The weather looks fine, as we talked about. Francine's not really going to touch.
You like the over.
I think it's a little low.
On an offense that you said doesn't look as explosive on the Memphis side, and then one that you're just banking is going to show us.
Yes.
I'm surprised.
I think both are going to show some things. I think both... I mean, I don't want to lay 6.5 with Florida State. I really don't. But I do think that they will find some success. They get a receiver back who Norvell was raving about, who said he also thinks he'll help them in the run game. And I think there's some tricks up Memphis' sleeve here that they haven't shown. I mean, if we're really going to talk about the offense, 7 pass interference penalties for Memphis against Troy versus Memphis. So that's, what, however many yards that Memphis might have picked up that they didn't get credit for picking up because of the penalties. So your yards per play probably look a lot better if those are completions. Cramsey was talking about how they're doubled. They're doubling Rock. They're doubling Demir. Florida State's not going to do that. They're going to play man-to-man, single coverage. So Rock can maybe get loose a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be just more of a man-to-man game. And I think that's where you see this Memphis offense open up a little bit. So, you know, unless there's a big, you know, weather event, I think 52 is, I think it's fair. So I think I would just take the over. I don't think it's off by a ton. I got the number. I make it 55. You know, I make it 55. A little, you know, 31-24 type of action on your Saturday morning. That's
just a little much. I think that feels a little high to me.
Well, you know, again,
but you know me, I'm the square here.
That's right.
So just feel sorry for me.
That's right, we do.
That I'm looking at it through these blurry square lenses.
And what happened when you went off the reservation and got cute on Monday night? What happened?
I lost.
And then you did it again on Friday. You did it on Friday, and you didn't learn by Monday. You did one with me.
I took similar bets, but they weren't yours.
That's right. You did. We worked together.
I did not seek your advice.
On Thursday. It was profitable and prosperous.
Yeah, I called you my brother in here on Friday.
Friday.
You helped me.
You stopped working with me. You went against me.
Well, I'm about to be out of money.
You went against me and you lost. And then on Monday, I don't know what the hell you did.
On Monday, I did 15.
You had 15 on the Jets money line and Breeze anytime touchdown.
Again, Christian McCaffrey's absence, I got high on the sauce.
So how much do we have left?
Five.
We got $5.
Five free dollars. It's going to be hard to turn it into something real. We've turned the 50 free, used 45, into 38.
Okay.
So 38 real dollars.
That's not bad.
It's not a bad conversion rate, but I usually typically try to go over. That's
of course.
Why I have the winning ways.
So here's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to do something a little more elaborate for Thursday Night Football than you're used to.
So some parlay action.
It's going to have to be another. But usually we just do the two legs.
I don't do more than
We're going to have to add some legs now because of your decisions.
Okay.
You know, and we're going to try to make sure they're correlated and they go together, but again, the likelihood begins to decrease. Payout does get bigger, though. So you will like that.
Tell me about it.
You will like that, right?
We might need to break it down into some twos.
Yeah.
A couple $2 bets. Just to stretch this thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, hey.
I mean, it can go fast.
Because you will not, once it's gone, you will not reload.
Well, we didn't last year.
That's right.
I checked.
And so you were gone by what, week four about? Week five?
No, it didn't. No, I think you're right. Yeah, it did get me through. I think I made the last bet in late September.
Okay.
So I must have left a little something in the tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll have to keep grinding.
I will consult you before I do anything with that free five. I appreciate it.
Yep. All right. Well, we'll come back. Norton Hurd IV is going to join us at around 1:25, and we'll talk to him about Memphis basketball, the latest commitment. Jasper committed to Kentucky since we last talked to him, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN. We're back. Jason and John, Turn FM, ESPN. Great job there from Jason on that word on leaders. You impressed me.
We don't need your grading.
More and more every day. I'm just tired
you ain't ESPN. This
flowers,
ain't a draft
man.
Grades.
I want to give some flowers.
Yeah, we'll give leaders an A-plus for what they do for us.
Absolutely. Tyreek Hill was, we haven't really talked about this, the body cam footage from Tyreek Hill and the detainment from Miami-Dade police officers. Tyreek Hill said today he could have been better in terms of how he handled the situation. He was pulled over for speeding 3 hours for the Dolphins season opener last week against the Jaguars. Body camera footage was released on Monday night. Tyreek was certainly, I would say, less than forthcoming about rolling his window down. He rolled it down, then I think he rolled it up. He was asked by the officer who pulled him over to roll it down. He did not. Now, he came out and said he didn't want to roll his window down because people would recognize him and it would become a much bigger stir. In that vehicle, it makes a lot of sense, right?
Now,
You know, I think...
Actually, I thought that made some sense.
Yeah, I think he was trying to explain that to the officers. You can sort of see him talking behind the window in the car, but you can't really make out what he's saying.
Now, I will just say, you and me civilians, we're going to roll that thing down.
Of course.
Me, black man, you, white man, we're both rolling down. I mean, I've been pulled over. We talked about it recently in Shelby County Sheriff's.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just rolling down. I'm not...
Yeah.
But again, I'm not in a Lamborghini.
Right.
I'm not in Miami. I'm not a celebrity.
That's right.
And with that window down, you could. I mean, you can... what he's selling is real.
That's right.
whether you're buying it or not is your own story.
So he did not roll the window down, and then
that triggered the cops.
It triggered the cops.
You could tell by the video.
At least one of them, Danny Torres pulled him out of his car and handcuffed him while he was face down on the pavement. Torres kneeled on his back while placing him in handcuffs, forced him to the ground roughly a minute later when Hill was slow to comply with an order to sit down. I'm reading this from the ESPN story. Tyreek Hill said, "My whole life is all about accountability. How can I get better? I will say I could have been better. I could have let down my window in that instant. But the thing about me is, man, I don't want attention. I don't want there to be cameras out, phones on you in that moment. But at the end of the day, I'm human. I've got to follow rules. I got to do what everybody else would do. Now, does that give them the right to literally beat the dog out of me? Absolutely not. But at the end of the day, I wish I could go back and do things differently." He did say that he believes that the police officer should be fired.
Yeah, he came out with that one yesterday, didn't he?
He said he's got
to
go.
Yeah, you know, he's had some time to sort of process this, and he's come to the decision, to come to the conclusion that he should go.
Yeah.
You know, after having a couple of days to think about it.
Yeah, so listen, this is kind of the way I would bottom line it. I think there is no question that your job and your responsibility as a police officer is to de-escalate situations, right? That is one of your primary functions. You don't want to escalate situations. You don't want to, add fuel to the fire, you know? And it felt like there is no question about it. That Danny Torres escalated as opposed to de-escalated, pulling him from the car, kneeling on his back. He was kind of antagonizing him a little bit.
He told him to stop crying.
Stop crying. He said he just had surgery. Yeah. He's like, "Did you get surgery on your ears?" When I was trying to, you know, so he was antagonizing him, right? Whereas, listen, if everybody involved in the situation had a cooler head, the cops could have sort of waited around, had the discussion with Tyreek. He could have explained, "Hey, I'll get you everything you need. I just don't want to roll my window down so as to draw attention. I'm already in this car. If people see who I am, it's going to be a big, you know," a very understandable human response, right? I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but if you're Tyreek Hill, you don't want to be on TMZ. You know, but I will say this. People were under the impression that he was going 100 in a 40. He was not. He was clocked at going, I think, 60 in a 40,
mm-hmm.
which is still over the limit.
Yeah, but
this is not a Henry Ruggs situation where he was just, you know, recklessly driving down the street, and whipping around and whatever. People, I mean, you speed all the time. You just got a ticket for it. I was
rolling through a stop.
Rolling through a stop. Apologies. That's no better.
They make it sound like you're a madman.
That's no better.
Frankly, it's a stop sign we all roll.
Now, I've been pulled over for speeding in a school zone. I've been pulled over for, you know, speeding.
You know what the other guy did? I was speeding, and he let me go. Remember, I told you about the guy on...
Yeah, he recognized you or something.
No. It was my wife. When we said we were... I'm taking her to school. She was a teacher.
That's right.
He was very kind about that.
Yes, he was.
And I told that story.
So, look, I mean, I think, again, what I would get back to and what I would just say watching the body cam footage is that the responsibility of de-escalation was not met. No question about that. Could Tyreek Hill have rolled his window down? And should he have rolled his window down? He should have. At least enough to explain, I don't want to keep my window rolled down because of my extenuating circumstances,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And could the police officers have been more understanding, been more patient, right, and allowed him to explain that side of it without using physical force, antagonizing
Danny
him.
Danny got ridiculous with it. Danny was really enjoying himself. After,
yeah.
You know, he wanted to show Tyreek Hill who was the boss.
Yeah.
And there are times where cops need to do that.
Absolutely right.
Right, because the guy you've got's out of control.
Yep.
And you need to, what, get control of the situation.
Yep.
What I would bottom line it this way, John, on the Tyreek Hill decision go public, say this guy should be fired. I would want to see, and what I read, we didn't know yet, what's in his personnel file. What's his history look like?
Yeah.
Is this something he does all the time? Because let me tell you something, folks. This is serious.
He's been with the MDPD for 27 years.
Right. So that matters to me in terms of that. That's a long time you've been there. And so I would want to know about complaints filed, everything else, because I gotta say this. You wonder what happens if it's a regular dude,
mm-hmm.
if it ain't a Tyreek Hill, who, guys, oh, by the way, he's calling the Miami Dolphins head of security the whole time. I don't know if you've seen it, but he's talking to him on the phone. trying to let him know, hey, they're arresting me. Mm-hmm. But my point is, you know, you've got something serious here. That other cop does, because this one's different. He's trying to call somebody. He's in a Lamborghini, first of all. Then you're seeing other big dudes stop. Calais Campbell, the other football player, they stop. They're getting out. So after a while, it should dawn on you, I got a celebrity. But how many times does he not have one?
Right.
How many times has he pulled over somebody right. and they haven't rolled down their window like they wanted? And then he's dirt dogged him once he's pulled him out of the car and done whatever he wanted. And there is no calling ahead of security, because at that point you're at Danny Torres's mercy. So I would want to see if there's a pattern of that. If there's not, you know what? You know, and I'm a guy that's all about grace. I can understand getting overly heated. You felt like Tyreek was doing you wrong. If this guy's got a great, file and a great history of being a great cop in Miami, mm-hmm. absolutely keep him on the job. You reprimand him for this. You already made him administrative, it sounded like, and let him stay on, because this has been his life. And folks make mistakes. We've all made mistakes, right? But if there's a history of this, and in particular against, civilians, where you would expect, I just saw an attitude that I'm sure has come out before. And so if there's numerous incidents, then I'm with Tyreek that he should go. But I would want to know that. I would want to get the full picture before I'm firing a guy for what could have been
right.
a very bad day at the office.
Sure. I think that's fair. I would say the police officer was far more wrong than Tyreek Hill was, though. There's just no doubt about
that. But you're right.
They
both contributed to it.
They
did. Tyreek did, because you and me are going to roll that window down.
You can't ignore that piece of it. Now, I'm not saying that.
When the cop tells me to do something, I'm doing it.
That did not necessitate that behavior.
Exactly.
But it did. Like, you can't really, you make a choice, and then it's up to the person that's on the other end to react.
No.
So why even leave it up to that?
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm not saying it's right. It's wrong.
Because he didn't break any laws.
No, he didn't.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so it has to be.
But his level
and how a cop deals with that is part of the training.
Well,
right?
I mean, it is. But we know that gets thrown out the window.
Oh, I know.
You
can tell me.
So I just feel like, again, if I was adjudicating this, right, I would say, Tyreek, just roll your window down.
I would say that.
Right? But then I would say to the police officer, you were wrong.
I would say, do we have any prior complaints?
Yeah.
Because I saw an attitude that I would want to know if there's been more of.
Yeah.
Because that would matter here.
Yeah. Anyway. So, anyway, listen, I assume that the police officer will step down and resign.
It looked like he wanted his job back.
There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of pressure from the Miami Dolphins organization in that city. I mean, he may want it back, but I just...
And the police association was with him to start. Now, I think their statement may have come out before the body cam footage did, so we'll see where they're at with him now.
Yeah.
But, I'm curious to see what happens, because it looks like this man wants his job back, who thinks he's a pretty good cop and everything else. His file might be clean.
Yep.
If it is, I'd say, okay, we can get this figured out. We can get him some training, whatever you call it, sensitivity, whatever else. Tyreek... You do what the officer says, we move on. But if he's got a long history, and that man's attitude would suggest that he might, then he needs to be out of there.
Yeah.
That's abuse of power.
All right, we'll come back. Norton Hurd IV going to join us on the other side. Stick around. Jason and John, Eddie Turner Fan, ESPN.
Norton Hurd IV is the Team Thad program director and coach, Silverway Media's top 100 most influential people in men's college basketball. That is a very short list. They only do 100 of those. A lot of the country's best coaches. And a lot of the best grassroots coaches on that list. Some media members. We'll see if anybody else can make it. You can follow him on X at Dream Big Hurd, and on IG at I Am Coach Hurd. He joins us now like he does every Wednesday. I was asking John before you came on, Coach, if you're stretched a little thin these days. Because you got all these media appearances you got to do.
Busy man.
Monday with Jeffrey Wright, where you're breaking down college football.
Bang, bang. Niner gang.
Who you like, 49ers, NFC champion.
Jordan Mason.
And so we wondered if you had anything left for us in your Wednesday hits, considering you've been giving out the takes left and right lately. You're a very popular man. Shout out to you. I don't know if we can get a round of applause, but I'm going to give you one because you are everywhere and you always deliver.
There it is. Give it up for Hurd.
Appreciate
you don't look stressed then if you are. You look
great. No,
as
I'm
usual.
Not. I'm still in my prime. Still got a lot of years. So, you know, when you're in your 20s and 30s and if you're 40s, and, I mean, Brad and Jason make it look like you can even go all the way higher, because they do a lot of good young man stuff, and they do it at a high level.
Jason and Brad are the exact same age, I believe.
Really?
Yeah, I think they are the exact same age.
Okay, well, man.
46? Is that right? 46. Brad's nodding. He said, I am 46.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be 48 this year.
Oh. Wow, so you got a little on him.
Yeah, if that's correct. Yeah,
43. I'm 48? I can't count.
They both still young men.
I cannot count, bro.
You can't count?
No, dude.
Kind of like somebody you're voting for. They never can count the votes right when they're wrong.
Well, first.
Tola Black did a lot for him.
I don't get into, you know.
He went to, with LaRon's mom. John was in her math class.
Oh, she does a great job.
So she worked with him because he really struggled early.
Oh,
and
okay.
Tola,
Tola's
a great
the
woman
best.
That she is, got John to a place where it's, you know, he's got acceptable math.
Oh, that's
he can
good.
Get by
no,
math,
not
you
know? Really.
She really helped him.
She did her best, but it's
that's
almost
a true
lost
story, by the way.
The most she helped me was when she told me where LaRon was going to school initially,
mm-hmm.
which was Baylor.
Mm-hmm.
And then that changed, and then he wound up at Illinois.
Yep.
And then
did you have to pull over and rewrite a story or anything?
I was driving when I received the text. It was amazing. This is how it worked back in the day. Like, it doesn't work this way anymore. But Tola texted me. She was so sweet.
And Herb been known. He could have told you, but he didn't.
Well, Herb never tells you. Right. Herb always says, I don't do anything with the recruiting.
Still the same.
He's been saying the same damn thing since 2010. But she texts me. She was so sweet. She said, hey, John, just want to let you know that we've made the decision that LaRon is going to attend the, you know, Baylor and all that. And then, because it was kind of a surprise at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Baylor was like I don't remember. I think Illinois maybe thought they were getting him at that time. But he chose Baylor initially, and then he wound up at Illinois anyway. But, that was like the last class where it wasn't like all social. Then at some point, 15, 16 on, I understand it. Kids started denouncing it themselves. And they should. I mean, they should take control over their. I mean, it's their decision, not mine, to announce. Mm-hmm. But that was a big one. Then I'll never forget, I was in some stupid class that I don't even remember how I passed. Got a call from Austin. And Austin calls me and says, hey, man, I just want to let you know I'm making my decision right now. And I'm going to, Memphis. Man, I ran up out of that class, bro. I was like, oh, time to write. You know, so that was a big one. But again, you know, that was a different time, bro. That was a different time. And now it's all on Insta and, you know, I don't know who else does it. ESPN don't even get them anymore, really, it feels like.
Get them a little bit. CBS, you know, they do 247. They get them. So that's what Jasper just did. He is on.
Go on, you just had a big one.
Mm-hmm, that was.
We were talking about beforehand, and now it's happened since. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah,
Mark Pope on the board.
That's a big get for Mark Pope.
Hope for Pope.
Keeping the in-state, five-star in-state.
Man,
it's
no
big
doubt.
For him, no.
No, that's big.
Yeah.
That's big.
Develop him for a year, then he hits the portal, really gets going.
We don't, you know. You never know these days.
He might not be lying, as you know, but yeah, we're certainly not wishing that for Jasper. We want him to stay
there.
Yeah,
he'll be top 12. Is the expectation for him to play early?
Yeah. So a guy of Jasper Johnson caliber would not be going into school.
Right.
He wouldn't play for a guy that has been trained highly. Any top team Thad kid plays early in college basketball. And the proof, research, and history have shown that.
Is he expected to be the – was he a point guard, starting point guard?
He point guard combo.
You expect him to start?
Do I expect him to start at Kentucky?
I mean, it ain't Kentucky, bro. It's a new version of Kentucky.
Nah, I'm going to tell you, John. They messed me up, right? So I was just there last week. And, you know, Polk is not really in great with the guys like, you know, me and other, you know, guys that got, you know.
Because he was never working with y'all.
Yeah.
He wasn't recruiting.
I'm
going to
be real,
got.
Though. It did kind of show me the power of Kentucky. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
So Moreno committed the week before Jasper. He's a top 25.
Yep.
And then the guys that are on their list that's coming on visits these 2 months in the class of 25 and 26 are, first of all, the 25 guys they talking to are all top 10. The 26 guys they talking to are all top 5. Like, they're bringing in Caleb Wilson. Okay. They're bringing in Caleb Hope. These guys are top 5. They're bringing in,
okay.
Who else? It's Mikael Brown. That's 2025 top point. Like, mm-hmm. so I'm going to be real, John. They're recruiting like it's still, because, like, they're really not even talking to anybody that's still in high school. They're not talking to too many people that's not in state that's outside of the top 15.
Mm. Well, that's interesting.
I wonder if they've told themselves the same thing Memphis did after Cal left. Like, you know what I'm saying? In the way that, you know, we're going to galvanize.
We're bigger than Cal.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and
you get that for a year.
I mean, that support actually, clearly it helped Josh there for a couple of years. And if they've sort of decided that with Pope, and we're going to fill up the coffers with NIL and be able to go after those kind of guys.
Yes.
Well, what I think is because NIL is out, where I think it Polk has a better chance than Pashner did is because, one, with Polk being a graduate and playing on, I think, the championship team.
He was on the championship team.
It is like a deep root in the community for him to succeed. And so I'm seeing that down there.
Okay.
Two, the athletic director finally like feel like this was his choice. This mm-hmm. was his guy instead of the last two hires.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like with that, you know, you're going to do whatever it takes to succeed. And then thirdly, I'm getting to know Polk better. You know, of course, I mean, we had some really good conversations here in the last few months. But I talked to other guys that are kind of know Polk, and they like, Polk got, you know, he said we got to stay in front of the media, but he got a high confidence and arrogance about him, too, that he feels like he's that dude, too, or whatever, like that, which you got to in this business or whatever, like that. But, I didn't know he got that in him. So, with that being said, yeah, he's still going to recruit, and he got to stay. I don't know how long Cal was here, but I felt like he was at Kentucky longer.
09 to 24, yeah, he would have been at Kentucky for longer. He was at Kentucky for 15 years. He was only here for eight.
Eight. See, this is where it gets tricky. He was here eight, and he'd probably been good five. Well, since he was good every year there, on the visit, even though they're telling you Calipari history, it's still Kentucky history. So it's just a major, when you walk in, of all the first-round picks and all the even though they Cal mm-hmm. players,
mm-hmm.
they're in Kentucky. You see what I mean? So I think that might give him more momentum to be able to stay successful, you know, potentially.
Well, he'll have it to start. I mean, the minute there, as we see, that you don't deliver, they're ready to move on, you know?
Kind of like some other fans I know. But
not really. I mean, it's been seven, but
six.
Yeah,
right,
fair.
He will change facts.
I mean, it's the difference between making, you know, $60,000 and $70,000 a year, $600,000 and $700,000, you know.
No, that's fair. No, I appreciate you saying that. And as I tell my daughter, you know, she makes a mess yesterday in the house. She needs to have accountability for cleaning it up. It ain't my job to clean it up. It's your job. You made the mess.
Okay.
So
where is it going?
I was wrong to say that it's been 7 years. You're here to hold me accountable.
Yeah.
It's only been six. So,
but I don't need you doing this and holding somebody too accountable this year, because I feel like this
is
where...
Well, no, it ain't like, just me. It ain't like, just me, all right?
I feel like this
it's Star Spangled Banner over here, too. It is.
Hold on, first of all, the audience don't know, this is a great... nice polo with the polo shoes that back, you don't America understand.
I'm saying it's the Star Spangled Banner.
Now I'm starting to get a sense that y'all are trying to check.
I ain't checking, bro.
I don't want this to hurt. I can tell by the way he's laughing.
No, I didn't think he was going to laugh that hard.
He thinks this is a little out of season, a little
I think it's
a great time.
No, I can tell. I know. Don't try to play with me.
No,
he was patriotic after the debate.
Because you should have seen him when he first came in.
Oh, he said something about
what you trying to do? What you're trying, you know,
somebody would wear that at a Trump rally, though, doesn't it?
No, I go back to like 90s, early 2000s, polo, Tommy. No,
see,
the era was
90s, bro.
No, hold on. If you think about it,
he's coming out.
Anything, it was a deep pull from the closet.
Anything that's compared to the 90s is actually a compliment, like 90s love. Like 90s,
you're right.
Was
everything,
the time
the movies were better than
the
90s.
Yeah, things felt authentic in the 90s.
No doubt. That's like something Danny Glover would have worn in the 90s. There's no doubt about it.
No, like somebody really, really cool at the mall.
Danny Glover was cool, bro.
No. But he don't have Memphis swag. No.
Have you read or heard about the Penny interview with John Rothstein?
Yeah, and Jeff recovered his son.
You talked about it. What did you think of the tone? Not just for us, because I didn't get to hear all of you all's conversation.
So... You know, when you say tone, I'm going to do the best I can do with that, because a lot of times if I'm having not even an issue with somebody, but if I am trying to get something important out, I prefer them not to text me, because I feel like a text is you don't know the tone.
Oh, I'm with you on that. And you can miss a lot there.
Misconstrued. I think people get into it sometimes with text, they're both on the same page. So right, I didn't hear it, I read it. And so I'm going by when you say tone, I read it, Jeffrey had it pulled up, read some more stuff. I think it came from a place that basically what he has been trying to say, you know, it's almost like when you do an interview, right? I know when I do interview, I don't know how you when you interview somebody, but a lot of time when reporters interview you, they ask you the same stuff in different ways, like in different languages. They might say,
"You know,
what do you think about Jasper?" Then I say it. Then what did he bring us in? I said. Then they ask me like a similar, and I'm like, I think I just answered that. So I think in so many words, Penny is trying to say, from what I read, what he's been trying to say, basically like, you know, he feel things are trying to get taken out of hand. He don't think this is a big deal. He think that he's getting treated a little unfairly. He feels, he just don't feel like, he feel like any little thing that happens is getting more glorified and stuff like that. And so I think if you don't want to agree with that, you have your reasons why. And I think if you want to agree with that, you could have some proof to why. So I can see both sides on that. But me being around college coaches and me being around college fans, I do feel like after the whole firing and stuff, for the next week, any little thing that happened, we did overdo it. And it is stuff like that happens like this at some other programs that have been considered minor. And I think with our media doing such a great job here in Memphis now, when we put it out and make it a big deal, now the national people is hopping on it. You know what I mean? On something that's a kind of simple. And I did say on there that I was not to switch the subject. I told Jeffrey I was a little disappointed because as soon as that happened, then it was the ladder and the whole, what's the guy's name?
Hitman.
Huh?
Hitman? You're talking about
not that? Not Hitman. The ladder. The university could have just said
Pat 40.
And that. I was a little disappointed. I think experience, you know, administration, like everybody know, rumors like this come out all the time. People write stuff all the time. And I think you gave it legs by turning it in, doing this, doing all this. So at this point, I feel like it is good for media and it's good for coverage. But I feel like until the season start, it's on him whether it go good or bad. If it go good, I think all this won't be talked about. But I don't think he can defend himself or do anything that can help until the season start. They win some games. So if the media want to keep pouring on him right now, they going to have the advantage, because I don't think there's nothing that he can do to win the argument. You know what I'm saying?
That's where I'm at. So at what point, right, you can't win the argument.
Mm-hmm.
And so why keep doing and trying to change minds with what you're saying in terms of trying to make people believe that you're being attacked or treated unfairly? Why not just focus on what you can? Because I'm sure, and you and I have had conversations, there's a bunch of folks out here that would love to see Norton Heard the Fourth fail, that would love to get the Nike contract and say, I can do a better job. Mm-hmm. And Heard, you could come in here every day and you could tell us about them folks, them haters that are on you, and how, no, I've done this, and I'm the right guy for the job. But you don't do that. You just, every year, you focus on trying to go get it. You didn't. Me and John keep asking you when you're going to win one, and you go right back out there and try to do it the next year, as opposed to trying to tell us, oh, we're coming down too heavy on you about trying to win a peace jam order. It seems like you just stick to trying to control what you can control. And I would ask, is that not the best advice for Penny at this point? Because it's like you said, you ain't going to convince everybody. You know, just going on interviews or radios just seems like wasted energy to me.
Well, I agree with that on one hand. But on the other hand, I do think at some point when you feel like if you're a part, like, if he feels like he's getting picked on or beat on, at some point, then you kind of want to feel like you want to have somewhat of a say. You want to feel like, you might feel like this is a chance to somewhat defend yourself. You know what I mean? So, you know, because at the end of the day, they are human. Or you might want to do like a lot of people. He might want to challenge the media conscience and heart by saying, I feel like y'all doing me wrong.
What's hard is, I mean, when your 6 years aren't as good at first, aren't as good as Josh's, aren't as good as Cal's, aren't as good as Larry's, it's hard to sit up here and say, thank you, Penny. This is the best job we've ever seen over 6 years, and that's the way he's sort of coming off.
Well, I think, well, he might be coming off the wrong way. I think what he is saying is, and I first of all, if you talk about the 6 years and all that, I think he has gotten to the point that he's fine with that. His thing is the stuff that he feel like blowing up that has nothing to do with that, like stuff that he thinks personal or stuff that he thinks, you know, in that manner. I don't know if he did. Yeah. In that manner, that's more so his take or whatever. I think he didn't got past the point. Nobody liked to hear, you know, that they're losing. But I think he know that's it is what it is. If you're losing game, I just think he thinks some stuff is more personal and it's some attacks.
Well, we know John. With John, it's really personal. So we know at least with John, it is personal. His attacks on
only personal because I love the program. I'm kidding. See it well.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You look like you're taking me seriously.
No, I'm just in here. I think
it's not personal. No, I'm not sure yet.
I've gone at pretty much every Memphis basketball coach, so it's not personal. at some point, it's just, it always happens. So that's the way it goes, man. It's certainly not. I hope Penny does well. Hope he makes tournament. Hope he goes on a run.
For sure.
You know,
sure.
That'd be awesome. I would love every minute of that.
Used to him. He's going to be here for a while.
You're giving him a lifetime deal.
Good lookout at Shoot 360 this past Sunday.
Thank you. Yeah, that was awesome.
Saw the pictures.
Shoot 360 blowing up, 50,000 square foot facility, location also in Collierville. It's the best franchise going in town, no doubt about it. He is Norton Hurd, the fourth, Team Thad coach, program director, joins us every Wednesday here on the show. We'll come back, wrap it up. Jason and John, 90 FM, ESPN.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal, the raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.